Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
President Michael D. Higgins last week led tributes following the death of Paddy Maloney, founder of the Chieftains, and of course an iconic figure in Irish traditional music. He was a composer and a producer, and he was in his 80s, of course, originally from Donnycarney in Dublin. Glad to be joined now by Cashel man Lauras Amoracu, who is Director General of Cultus Cultori Éireann. Good morning to you, Lauras.
And good morning, Fran.
And lovely to talk to you today.
I'm
wondering from your point of view, I mean, Cultus, you're into the preservation, nurturing of the traditional music, song and dance. Did Paddy serve traditional music well, do you think, Lauras?
Oh, without any doubt, of course, he did, both in Ireland and internationally as well. You see, Fran came from a generation of young people in the 1950s and 60s during the revival and resurgence of Irish traditional music. Cultus was founded in 1951, and the founding branch of Cultus was the Pipers Club at 14 Thomas Street in Dublin. And Paddy was a pupil there in that club, and his teacher was the well-known, famous Leo Rostam.
Yes.
Probably one of the greatest Dylan Pipers of all time. So he was very firmly rooted in the tradition itself. And then, of course, he went on to global acknowledgement afterwards.
And, of course, he probably came to fame, first of all, with Sean Laredo's Cultori Éireann. How did that work, do you think, for taking traditional music out of maybe the doldrums in some way? Or do you see it like that?
Well, the way I see it really is that there was at least two decades of, I suppose, ensuring that the music would survive. And then you had to pass that music on to young generations. Otherwise, it would just have become a museum piece. So then when that happened and the standards had improved, I mean, the sheer genius of Sean O'Riordan, which has been acknowledged and recognised again in recent times, was that he brought together a group of musicians, including Paddy Maloney, and he put his own particular stamp on that, and he made it very acceptable, if you like, to a broader audience, not just a traditional music audience. And we know the success of that. So, yeah, that was very, very significant. And again, it was the second nursery, if you like, for Paddy Maloney. The first was learning the music in the Pipers Club. The second was this new dimension which Sean O'Riordan brought. So there's no doubt about it, but Paddy was a very rounded musician and still very firmly rooted in the tradition.
And did you have any concern at the time, Lauras, about the influence of classical music on the ensemble playing then of trad, if you know what I mean? Like, it was different at the time, wasn't it?
It was. I suppose if it had happened 10 years earlier, there would have been concern. But no, the tradition of music now was on a very firm footing. There were thousands of people, young people again, starting to play the music. And you know yourself, it's inevitable with musicians that they want to push out the boundaries and push out the parameters, if you like, because that's the nature of an artist, really.
Yes.
And I mean, that was understandable, that was going to happen. And you've come further than that since. You know, you've had the Hothouse Flowers and Planxty and all these other groups. But you know, that's something we should be celebrating, really, because it shows that each step in its own way was successful without harming the roots at the same time.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, because that is your modus operandi, is to hold on to that core and that yeah, tradition. Can it be difficult to do that from time to time if people only judge traditional music by listening to Planxty or listening to Moving Hearts or whatever, and maybe not returning to the core, essentially?
Well, it's a very broad church, the world of music, as you know yourself, and it's very, very diverse. And at the end of the day, it's the individual artists who actually make up that. And I think it would be very, very wrong to put unnecessary constraints on artistry in that sense. I think that's understandable. But on the other hand, every time you get to one audience, for instance, I would always say that the Clancy brothers, if you like, were an introduction to the next level of traditional music. So would the Dubblers, the Wolf Tones. All of those are part of the bigger tapestry, if you like. And I can remember the very early Flannachol that I went to. All these groups were going to the Flannachol, so they were part of an extended family, if you like. Mm. And yet, whenever they were being interviewed on radio or interviewed on television, invariably they went back to those roots of the Flannachol, because the Flannachol, in a way, seems to be a melting pot in many ways. But they were always respectful of the tradition itself. I can recall a lovely little story when we were building Brewbrew and Cashel. We had only the big hole at the site with a long way to go. And Liam Clancy called in to us one day when we were working on it, and he put his hand in his pocket. We didn't ask him. He took out his checkbook and he gave us a very, very generous contribution.
Did he indeed?
So all he did was the project. Yeah. And that would be, if you like, typical. I can remember as well that the Wolf Tones, for instance, ran a concert and gave the proceeds to us in Brewbrew. So those stories don't get told, but they are part of the history.
Right, and you have no problem whatsoever. If the Wolf Tones or the Clancy Brothers were a portal for people to get back to the origin of the tradition, that's a good thing, obviously, isn't it?
Oh, I've always felt that, because I would have known the Clancy Brothers very well, and I would have known that a lot of the songs that they had, more than likely they picked them up at Flannachol. But I've had a great relationship with all those groups down through the years, and I can only respect. But if you look, say, at Liam Clancy's family, the way they're following on with the tradition as well, and that would be true of all of those. But the main thing is, when you look back at Paddy Maloney's history and the contribution he made, and he was one of those iconic figures with the Chieftains, because all the musicians with him were all top class musicians. Like Sean Keane would have come to the Piper's Club in Dublin the very same way, and you know, all of them, if you like, could go back to the same roots. I heard Matt Malloy being interviewed on one of our Flannachol programs there earlier in the year. And he talked about entering the competitions at the Flann. His next generation are doing the same. Yes, that is the strength of it at the moment. It's not only rooted now, but you can see the blossoms of what's happening.
And isn't that great to see? Indeed, I'm completely astounded by the virtuosity that I'm seeing with some of the youngsters out there. My only fear is, and I'd love your opinion on this, is, Are we losing the regional styles because they're homogenised now into maybe a more national style? Is that a concern for you?
Well, I would always like to see the regional styles enhanced and expanded. Of course, if there is a change there, of course, one of the reasons for that is it's so easy now for people to travel, go from area to area, to hear music in another area, whether it's on social media or otherwise. All that has changed. But no, I think it's evolving in a lot of ways into a new type of style, but the regional styles are still inherent. I'll give you an example of that, which I always find very interesting. At the Flannachol in Ennis, in the All-Ireland Ceilidh Band Championship, we'd have 14 qualifiers who would have come up through the ranks. Two of those came from Japan.
My God.
And they were all Japanese. And I remember, for the first time I ever saw happening, when each of those bands played, which you never see at a competition, they both got standing ovations. So now we have the Japanese regional style. But we're the very same in South America. I had a Zoom meeting the other night with the branches in South America, and that would be including Argentina and Colombia and all of those places. And I can remember a government minister saying to me, that, you know, the way the ministers go abroad on St. Patrick's Day, I can remember him saying to me, he went to Colombia and he heard the music being played. He said it sounded like the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band. But when he checked it, They were all from Colombia.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that a wonderful tribute to the country?
Isn't it? And the sophistication of our music, that it travels so well, of course.
That's right.
The pandemic, I mean, our traditional music and song and dance, it so depends on social settings and the like. How did COVID affect it?
Well, it definitely was a huge challenge. There's no doubt about that. Because artists who were perhaps making a living off it, they were having difficulty, etc. But people did try to come up with innovation. I know in Colchester we established what was called Flafest, and that was every county, every province, and internationally as well. And then we had Flafest Naherton in Sligo. And what we were trying to do there was give another opportunity to young competitors, also provide a platform for the more mature commercial musicians to come out and get back on stage. And then that all went online to the world. And you know something? It has done us the world of good, because I think as we get back to normal with the flag goal and all of that, I think now there'll be a sense of achievement that we were able to stay intact and not become dormant.
What are you looking forward to over the coming months and possibly next year as well, Aros? What?
Well, I suppose we're all that little bit worried. First of all, the fact that we went through this year and were able to establish a fair amount of activity. Of course, we're all looking forward to an improved safety situation. We've all lost some very good friends and colleagues. It's so sad who have passed on. You mentioned Paddy Maloney, there was Tony McMahon, there was Brendan McGlinchey, there was Micheál Hipkiss, there was a whole Martin Connolly, a whole big list to pass on. I suppose, first of all, we'd like to celebrate their memories, and then secondly, look towards the young people. Because if you look, we have 1,500 classes every week. You can understand how the thousands of young people want to get back. Now, we have started the classes in the last 4 weeks. We're now looking forward to getting the county flag held and the provincial going. And we've already scheduled the All-Ireland for August of next year in Mullingar. So, Fran, really, it's really a matter of the fingers crossed and a little prayer that we can achieve what we want to achieve and that everybody will feel safer and feel better.
Well, hopefully that will be the case indeed. We've lost two of our finest poets over the last couple of days as well. I would have been familiar with Brenda Kennelly's work, but sadly not Máire Vacanti's work, because it was profoundly in the Irish language. And with your love of Irish, I presume you were familiar with her work.
Well, I must say, I was watching the tribute to her last night, and Una was with me.
Yes.
And she was reciting, Una was reciting all her poetry, because that would be, if you like, the gem of Irish literature in the Irish language. And likewise with Brenda Kennelly, who seemed to understand rural Ireland so well, the challenges and the achievement. Two wonderful people. But again, it's telling you that how lucky we are with the great talent we have in this country.
Isn't it great? I saw some photographs recently, as well as a lovely page on Facebook. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it comes up with old photographs of Cashel over the years. Lovely photographs of you being involved in drama back in the 1960s as well, in Cashel, in the old town hall there and stuff. Lovely memories
That's
of that.
Right. It was, and both your aunt and uncle, just a little reminder, were in that with me. That was Nellie. Eileen Irene, as I would always call her, and Eddie were in that.
Yeah.
We did several plays, and we had wonderful people. I can remember the Paddy O'Donnell. He would be an uncle of Roisin O'Donnell, who all the O'Donnell families were involved in theatre. Maureen Egone went on to become an Emmy actress. There was Dick Breen, Donnacha O'Kinnaid, Sean O'Dear,
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, there was a host of them. But not only
Michael Burke, of course, was there as well, yeah.
Exactly. But not only did we do them in the town hall, we used to go out to the little villages doing it as well.
Oh, did you? I didn't realise that, yeah.
We went to every local village within 20 miles, I would say. I should look, Fran, they were great times. They were simple.
Yeah.
We were never going to make the headlines or anything like that. But the main thing was, it was activating the community.
Well, I was delighted to talk to you today, and my best to Una as well. Thanks, Larosca. Real mahagat.
God bless. Long before this.
How about you, Larosca? How about you? That's Cashelman. Larosca Murucu speaking to us there. Director General, of course, of Cultus Kultori, Aaron. 1800-938-007. Text, WhatsApp, 083-311-3311. Intrigued with this text coming in. Fran, you're a disgrace, and Tip FM disgraceful. Taking the grants on the HSE advertising revenue, you're pimping for an apartheid society and big pharma. No balance in any debate on the media, including your Tip FM. So there's somebody very, very cross indeed today. Okay, and somebody saying that definitely, Fran, places in Clonmel not following the rules, not checking the certs. It's completely wrong. There should be inspection of that. Well, you see, there was supposed to be inspection. And I did hear about a couple of inspections. I was speaking to one gentleman who manages a venue, and he was telling me that he was inspected a couple of times. But obviously, it's not enough. And again, how do you feel about it? 083-311-3311.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip today on 1-800-938-007. Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.